Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, joined by Max Erz from Preds Radio on this Friday morning. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Max with us for the full first hour talking Preds. Max, what's up? Thanks for coming in.
Hello. Good morning, Smashville.
Yes.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
Good morning, Parker.
Getting ready for a fun weekend in Smashville with Toronto and the Rangers in town. So we've got a lot to get to today. Obviously going to talk about the game back on Wednesday against Carolina, the win on Monday, the hat trick from Philip Forsberg out there in St. Louis. But before we get in on hockey, Max, I know you wanted to start with the news from yesterday, the passing of Sheila Crisp, obviously a pillar of the community in Smashville, the wife of Terry Crisp, and very sad to learn the news of her passing yesterday, but obviously had a great impact on a lot of people around the Predators in Nashville as a whole.
Yeah, we found out right after the game on Wednesday night that she had died, and she had been battling breast cancer. She was in hospice care, and just unbelievably sad, and she died very comfortably. I definitely want everybody to know that. Her and Terry were holding hands. Their three kids were there. I think some of the grandkids were here as well. And one of her last wishes was, before she died, her wish was to still fly to Arizona for their annual big Christmas gathering. A lot of the family lives in Calgary.
Wow.
So even though that's not really in the middle geographically, that is in the
middle. A little closer for both. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of the Crisp family gathering spot, especially in the winter. And once she knew she wasn't going to make it, she said, I still need all you guys to go. So they are still going. And that was Sheila. And she picked the right time to go, too, because we're going to have a really nice moment of silence for her, which will air on Hockey Night in Canada against her home provincial Maple Wow. Leafs on Saturday night. So, yeah, if you're going to the game tomorrow, today's Friday, right?
Yes.
If you're going to the game tomorrow, 2 days without a game has completely messed me up. If you're going to the game tomorrow, please be in your seats by like 6:05 at the latest. The game is listed at 6. It'll start at 6:15. Because of Hockey Night in Canada, the moment of silence, I think, will be at 6:10. So please, please be in your seats or tuned in on TV for that. But yeah, Sheila was incredible. And I'd encourage everyone to go to Joe Rexroad's Twitter and read the article that he wrote when Crispy retired from broadcasting. And he tweeted it out yesterday again. He said, I set out to write an article about Terry Crisp, and it ended up basically being an article about Sheila, which is so perfect. But yeah, she was exceptional. And The thing that gives me the most peace about it is, I mean, first of all, the way the family handles it, because they're exceptional people, but also the fact that her and Aaron Donick are back together, because they fought together. They were so close together. And when Sheila showed up to Aaron's service this summer in August, when we had a massive crowd there of over 600 people, and I can't even imagine what Sheila's is going to be like. It's going to be just the same. But Sheila was there. She had worn a wig a lot as she was going through chemo. And first of all, you would never know it. It looked just like her real hair. As always, she rocked it. But she was wearing a headscarf or a bandana and not a wig. And I liked the pattern. I thought she looked beautiful at the service. And I told her, I love your scarf. And she said, Aaron would yell at me if I wore a wig and didn't show everybody that I'm fighting too. So they were very close, and it's just another reason that UC Saros's Hockey Fights Cancer Mask was as special as it was.
Right.
Because now we've lost both of them, and we're not going to lose partner. We're not going to lose Lexi Rogers. We don't want to lose anybody else. But they're probably listening right now. So,
right.
We will miss Sheila so much. Crispy is the absolute best. He's handled this like a champ. And as Joe wrote in that article, they've been together since they were teenagers.
Right.
So, it's been a long time. It's been, their wedding anniversary is, I think, in the mid 60s, how many years they were married.
Wow.
I don't know how many years I mean, it might have been almost 70 so about since they met.
Yeah, 60, yeah. 70 years. That's
they're both in their early or mid-80s.
Unbelievable. So. And I never had the pleasure of meeting Sheila, but I've met Terry a couple of times and, you know, just seem like great people. And you can clearly tell based on the reactions, the impact that they've had on plenty of people around here, and sending all of our thoughts and prayers to the Crisp family after the passing of Sheila earlier this week. Obviously going to be a special moment tomorrow night. So as Max said, if you're going out to the game as the Preds take on the Maple Leafs, make sure you get there early so you can be a part of that moment of silence to honor Sheila Crisp. The Preds in the middle of this the three-game homestand, and they fell on Wednesday night to Carolina. But let's start with a little bit of a happier note here. Back on Monday, 5-2 win over the St. Louis Blues. Philip Forsberg with a hat trick, and that's now a couple of hat tricks in just about a week span. Steven Stamkos had 4 goals the other week. You've got 3 from Philip Forsberg, and it seems like the goal scorers are scoring goals for the Preds, which always goes a long way.
Yeah, you love to see it, and both hat tricks were against the Blues, which is great. Because I know the Blues aren't the Preds' biggest rival. I don't think anybody would say the Blues have ever been the Preds' number one yeah. rival, but like they're always 2, 3, or 4. I feel like, depending on how the cycle's
right.
going.
That sounds about right. I mean, the proximity of it, you would guess that, you know, they'd at least be in the conversation, right? They're not number one, but they're up there.
Like, to me, I don't get to pick who the rivals are, but like, to me, you could make a case that they should be number one. They never have been, and they aren't number one. But like because of the geography, because of how these games always go these last few years, like 2 years ago, the Preds didn't lose to the Blues. They went 3-0 against them. Then last year, the Blues didn't lose to the Preds. The Blues went 4-0 against the Preds. And like every game Binnington is in, he's trying to take somebody's eye out or whatever it is, and giving up 7 goals and getting pulled. Or like I don't know, like the Braden Shen is always fighting the Preds, like stuff like that. Like I feel like it's a fun little rivalry, even though I don't think either team is on track for the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun when these two get together, and like there's something about a road hat trick in a division game.
Yeah.
Like Matt Wood's hat trick at MSG is cool because it was at MSG, but like even if the Preds had won that game, it's not like, screw you, Rangers. Like, we got a hat trick on your ice. Like, it's not like that with a cross-conference game unless it's the Penguins. And, like, I feel like the Preds' road hat tricks recently have all been in the Northwest. Like, O'Reilly had a hat trick in Calgary last year, stuff like that. Like, that's not like a screw you, like, the Preds fans who are here are throwing hats on your ice hat trick. And we had 3 on the ice in St. Louis Monday. So if anybody out there is listening who threw their hat, first of all, thank you. It does take a little bit of courage to do that.
Yeah. You never know what the people around you are going to react when you throw your hat on the ice.
You need to gauge like how wounded they really are before you do it. So yeah, it's good fanning. But yeah, like Phil, shoot the puck. Like great things are happening when he shoots the puck. And great things are happening for whoever's playing with Ryan O'Reilly. And it's Forsberg right now, and he took a little bit of a back seat. Stamkos was up there. I think he was a good soldier about it. But when you have O'Reilly with you, you're going to get open looks. And Forsberg, all game Wednesday, too, was shooting. I mean, the Preds didn't shoot a lot in that game, but the third period, unfortunately, they went down 3-0. If it were still 1-0 at the point where the Preds turned it on, I think they could have at least gotten to overtime that game. Because it felt like Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Stamkos were on the ice every shift.
Yeah.
And they were shooting, and they had odd man rushes. And Pyotr Kochetkov, who is just as erratic as Binnington, is like dropping rebounds everywhere. I don't understand how this guy doesn't give up 10 goals every game. Like, I don't understand how he's good. It's crazy. He does stupid stuff with the puck. He has awful rebound control. And just like he skates like by the slimmest edge every time.
And the Hurricane, they play like an interesting style too, of like they'll shoot the puck from anywhere on the ice, and it does work sometimes, and they got out to that 3-0 lead, but it is funny, like watching that game. You really, like you said, if they could have just held on and kept it at 1, you felt like the Preds could have made a run there and at least gotten it to overtime. But yeah, when you give up those 2 goals early in the third period, it was tough to climb that mountain.
Yeah, I think the Hurricanes are the worst matchup for the Preds in the NHL. And if nothing else, the last 2 weeks have proven that, because like just alone, you've competed with the Avs twice, who are off to one of the best starts in NHL history in year 108 of NHL hockey. And like you can't even stay close to the Hurricanes. So yeah, I think it's just a bad matchup for the Preds, and they don't play them again. I think they're also the best coach team.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the most unique system on offense and defense, and it works. I'd love to, like, I never have the time when we play an opposing team to do, like, a longer form interview with somebody, but, like, I'd love to talk to someone like Mark Jankowski, who I got to know well here, who's a player I really like,
yeah,
who's now on the Hurricanes, and he's our fourth line center. But, like, I'd love to talk to him in detail, maybe in the offseason, about, like, what it takes to conform to that, because
yeah,
they just drop guys in. Like, Ehlers comes from the Jets. He looks great there, which
right,
isn't surprising, but, like, yeah, I mean, they have, look, Jackson Blake has been killing us. He killed us in preseason. He's killed us in both games in the regular season. They've got him on an 8-year, $5 million a year contract. Stankoven only got $6 million a year for 8 years. Those both happened this summer. Like, first of all, these guys need better agents, but second of all, the Hurricanes might be good for a while.
Yeah, and it ends that strange six-game stretch where you played three teams, both home and away, and now you get ready for this back-to-back coming up against the Leafs and the Rangers starting tomorrow night. We will talk about that. We'll talk more about some of the young players as well. Reed Schaefer, now with three goals early on in his NHL career. We'll look at possible trades after Spencer Stastny was moved last week, and much more. I also want to get Max's thoughts on Nick Saban. We got Paul Kaharsky's thoughts at the end of Robbie and Rex Road.
Paul was just a bundle of joy. I just want everybody to know who listened to the last two segments. That last segment was not me. That was not Max Herz. Was Paul Kaharsky.
No, yes. That was Paul, and he gave his thoughts on Nick Saban and his lifelong dream to own a professional team in Nashville. We'll get Max's thoughts later on in this hour as well. 615-737-1025.
You can just delete the press release, Paul. You don't have to, like, read those filler quotes.
Right. Right.
You don't have to take them word for word. Like, most people just see them, oh, there's a press conference. I might go to that. That's the email.
So funny that Paul dove into the quote of, like,
That's why we love Paul.
This guy living in West Virginia, his lifelong dream was to own a Nashville professional sports team that did not exist when he was growing up.
Well, maybe he wanted to found the team.
Right. He always dreamed of it. You know, his two dreams, winning national championships and owning a Nashville hockey team that did not exist while he was growing up. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for Max, we'd love to get them to him. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. Much more coming with Max. He's with us for the full first hour of the show. Later in the show, we'll get ready for the college football playoff, which opens up tonight. Alabama and Oklahoma. We'll look at Titans and Chiefs. And at 11:30, Jack Ellingham Wenatanda from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball will join us after the Commodores got to 11-0 last night. Much more coming. We're off and running on this Friday. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz from Preds Radio. Parker Kelly with you on your Friday morning. Talking Preds for the full first hour with Max. Preds have won 7 of 11 heading into this back-to-back against Toronto and New York coming up this weekend. And Max, you texted me yesterday preparing for the show that you're really seeing some of the coaching show up in this stretch where the Preds have been able to win more games than they haven't and get right back into the thick of things in the wild card race.
Yeah, well, they've won 7 of their last 11. Two of those 4 losses are to the Hurricanes.
Yep.
And
the others are what? Winnipeg Jets, on the road?
Yeah, Jets.
And,
well, no, Jets was at home.
And Colorado.
That was when
on
they
should
have won, but Avs on the road, you can take in a solid effort where they got. Actually, we need to talk about this because this is since the last time I came on with you. I don't think this got the play it deserved in that loss to the Avs on Saturday night. The goal that completely changed that game was on a delayed penalty. And it was like one of the softest penalty calls in NHL history. And you never find out what the call is because when they score on the delayed penalty, they don't announce it.
Right.
So like we never saw a replay of it. Hal and I were up there in the booth like before it was an extended delayed penalty and then they scored. But like as the Avs were bringing the puck up ice and their goalie was going to the bench,
right,
I was like, did you see the penalty, Hal? Because I didn't see anything. And this is why Hal is so great because if he has a guess, he'll always say it. He'll be just like, no, I didn't see anything. Like,
yeah, he'll always give you his best thoughts. But,
yeah.
I mean, and that is annoying that if they scored, they just basically act like the penalty never happened when obviously that's a big reason that the goal actually did happen.
Like, I have had a lot of complaints this season. This is kind of a different category because this is more a standard thing. Like, they're not going to announce a penalty after a goal that washes the penalty out. It kind of would be nice if they would, but most of the time it's obvious. But, yeah, the NHL refs need to use the mic way more.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. And I will give Cody Beach credit, who we had on... God, my days of the week are off. I think it was also that game in Denver. It was a road game. It doesn't matter. But he went on the mic to clarify that a high stick was a friendly fire and there was no penalty.
Gotcha.
And he went to the mic and I was like, oh no, are they calling this? So he like actually went to the mic one time extra. But like, it's really not like the NFL like clearly has standardization for the refs. It's like whenever this happens, you need to address the crowd and the TV audience.
Right.
And they do a good job of it. And occasionally they'll forget and the rules analyst will be like, that was a screw up on TV. And that's great because it holds them accountable. And in the NHL, it's like, well, if the ref has the gift of gab and it's Wes McCauley, like he can do it. And it's, yeah, they need to tell us what's going on.
Yeah. No one has ever complained about too much transparency from the officials, I don't think. And that's why I think in baseball it's been great that they've given the crew chief a mic because, yes, most of it is for review, but sometimes they can address something if there's confusion. And I don't know why hockey doesn't do that more often.
I mean, I know why, because no one forces them to. But
right, I guess that's true. If they don't have to, then they won't. But
yeah, maybe I'll force them to. But sorry, back on topic. Yeah, they've been solid, and I think you see pieces of Andrew Brunette's system and coaching strategy that led the Preds to the 18-game point streak 2 years ago coming back in. And there was stuff at the beginning of the season. There were reasons why they were playing conservative. They had to shore up the defensive game first. With how bad it got last year and how much Saros had to take on and all the grade A's and the cross-seam passes and the crap that he had to deal with that was plan A to fix up this offseason, they had to put that into action first. And that's what training camp was based on. That's what the early season was based on. And it was tough because they didn't have Nick Hague for it, who was a big guy they brought in to address that net front problem.
Yeah.
And I thought Perbix really stepped up early in the year and played well in that shutdown role with Shea. I think his game has slipped a little bit recently, and Hague's been up and down. He's had his moments. But like that was what they had to shore up first, and that sacrificed a lot of offense. And that's why Steven Stamkos only had one goal in the first 14 games. Like, he should have had power play goals in that time, too, and that's a separate issue. We're talking 5-on-5 here. But, like, they were really defensive and conservatively minded at the beginning because they had to be. That was how they had to be competitive, how they had to play to do so. And now you're seeing more that quick up, first in the zone, oh, my God, odd man rushes, 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have 2-on-1s in October, which is awful.
Yeah, I mean,
but they knew they needed to play a different way, and their record in October was okay.
And we talked about it this week of, you're right, early in the season, if the Preds were going to win a game, it had to be that grinded out 2-1, 3-2 type game where you do just enough on the attack to be able to put the puck in the net a few times. But you're seeing the crooked numbers being put up now. You got 5 against the Blues on Monday. You had 7 against the Blues last week. You had 5 against Calgary. You're finally starting to see, as we said in the first segment, the goal scorers are scoring goals, which is always important for an NHL team.
Yeah, I mean, it's to see Stamkos score is just so unbelievable. And, like, I know it hasn't gone to plan, but I hope everybody is savoring the fact that a guy who's about to be the 22nd player in NHL history to score 600 goals, hopefully within the next couple weeks, is on the Nashville Predators.
Right. I think the Titans fans out there could compare it to Julio Jones of like, yeah, it didn't work out the way you hoped it would.
Is Julio Jones that good?
I mean, Julio Jones is a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
I don't know if he would be quite Steven Stamkos level because he never won championships, but like, you brought in a guy like Julio Jones and he was supposed to be the missing piece, kind of like Stamkos, and it didn't work out the way it's supposed to, but it was still cool to be able to look down and watch the Titans play and see Julio Jones out there.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I'm not the football expert, so I don't hold Julio Jones in that regard. But, like, I mean, to me, it's still crazy to think about. The Preds have all-time leading goal scorers for three different franchises
on their team. No, that is
Forsberg,
crazy.
Stamkos, and Marchessault. I keep forgetting to check if Marchessault is anywhere close to getting past. I don't think he is because,
right.
I mean, the guy who scores the most goals there now, it's Eichel and Barbashev, who haven't been there since the beginning.
Right, and that being such a new franchise, it probably wouldn't take much for him to get past, but, I mean, because they've been around for, what, 9 years now?
Because
their
yes.
first
yeah,
year they went
nine,
to the Cup.
Nine for the Knights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Marchessault is still pretty far ahead. Eichel will presumably get there eventually.
Let's see. Career leaders in goals. Jonathan Marchessault still number one. William Karlsson second. Riley Smith third. So he's got a little bit of cushion here still.
Yeah, his line mates. I mean, Karlsson is still there, but how much 30-something he's up on him?
27 goals.
Yeah. So,
and,
I mean,
Eichel is 80 back, and he's in fifth.
Okay, so that'll take some time.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Eichel's only been there for, I think, three full seasons now. So
yeah. So he's at 112, so he's got a little bit of time to go to get up there to Marchessault. So he should stay around as the leading goal scorer for the Knights for a little bit here.
Well, the other thing that I like from the Preds' goal-scoring perspective, like O'Reilly's been going the whole time. He's been generating more now, but it's in line with the system. Like, he's got the green light. He can lead chances. He can make his tight area plays. And that first goal Forsberg scored in the hat trick on Monday – that was all over. I mean, like, Forsberg's got the rip, and it was a beautiful shot, but that was O'Reilly who made that happen.
It is just funny, like, you said it. Whoever plays with O'Reilly is going to get opportunities to score goals, and it honestly seems like since O'Reilly had that little come-to-Jesus moment in his postgame where he said how horrible of a player he was, he has been creating chances for everybody, and it's been fun to watch.
He's just, like, Ryan O'Reilly is just the perfect Pred. Like, he's such a great fit both on and off the ice for the Preds and for Nashville. Like, he is Smashville hockey because he's a grinded out guy.
Yeah.
But he has his glamour big moments, and he's a big name, big face, humble superstar level player who is beloved around the NHL by fans and players. So he plays the Preds style, but he's potentially the best center in team history. From a chance generation perspective,
yeah, I think
he's also an unbelievable defense first player who has the best stick in the NHL. And also off the ice, he's a musician who is making music that is the team's win song and wants absolutely no credit for it because he doesn't want to distract from the fact that, like, the team isn't doing well.
That's so hilarious.
I mean, it's just so perfect. So you couldn't draw it up better for O'Reilly. And he's made Evangelista so great this year, too. And the other one who I was going to say is Bunting. Michael Bunting is fourth on the team with 9 goals. And he produces. He produces 5-on-5. He produces power play. And honestly, I would love to see Bunting stick around.
Yeah, that's one of those trades that was questioned when Barry Trotz made it last year. And Bunting has been a good piece for this team on that, is it the loud line that they call it?
The loud line. Yeah, the loud line is back together. Marchessault got hurt last game, so they practice in about an hour and a half, so we will find out if Marchessault is there or not. And if he's not there, maybe a call-up. I don't know.
That's true, and we'll have to keep our eyes on it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, any questions about the Preds that you have for Max, we got 30 more minutes with him here on the program. Coming up, we will talk about some of the young pieces, including Reed Schaefer, and look at some possible trades the Preds could make after moving on from Spencer Stastny last week. Much more to come with Max Herz from Preds Radio. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today on Sports Talk 8:30, starting at 10 a.m., so about 30 minutes, Kennesaw State and Western Michigan in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, followed by Memphis and North Carolina State in the Gasparilla Bowl. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com.
How about Western Michigan getting to go to Myrtle Beach?
There you go.
Good coup for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, we got some good ones today.
Well, we got all the college football playoff games on. I will be listening. We have good ESPN announcers for those games, too,
yes,
on the radio.
Yes, is it Mike Cousins tonight for Alabama and Oklahoma?
Mike Cousins tonight. Then we got Mark Kestisher for the first game tomorrow. Those are on 102.5. Kesty is like the ESPN NBA guy who people have heard on our station. I think he's the best radio basketball play-by-play announcer I've ever heard, tied with Kevin Ingram. And I hold Kevin in very high regard. So that's big for Kesty. And then tomorrow, the voice of sports, Roy Philpott, who people might not know who he is, but he's from ESPN and I love him.
I believe he is calling Vanderbilt's bowl
game,
right?
He is, and Vandy only wins when Roy calls our games.
There you go.
He called the Tyron Lawrence buzzer beater against UT. He called the football game against Virginia Tech week one last year. He's called a ton of basketball games. He called the doubleheader, the ACC doubleheader a couple weeks ago.
Oh, when the men's and women's team
played on the same day, and both teams won. Like, I actually don't think Vandy has lost a game with Roy on the call since I met him in 2019 at a Vandy baseball game. So tonight, every single college playoff game is on either 102.5 or 94.9.
Yep.
The whole playoffs, mostly on 102.5. Tomorrow, the second two will be on 94.9 because of Preds.
Right. So,
but if you want to hear those while you're driving, like, it's all day tomorrow. So you're going to be in the car at some point.
And, you know, if I was, you know, Robbie Stanley, I think, would second this. If you had given the option between listening to the Preds tomorrow night and, you know, Tulane Ole Miss or JMU Oregon, I would choose the Preds. Preds and Leafs tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts right here on 102.5 The Game. Max, Reed Schaefer. He scored his first career goal against Calgary a couple weeks ago. Now has three. Scored one from way downtown against St. Louis back on Monday. What have you seen from Schaefer as he has started to make an impact for the NHL team up here at this level?
I think there's really a chance he sticks. It's been fun to watch. Like, he plays different roles, and even on the nights where he's not going and doesn't end up with double-digit ice time, like, it's not because he did anything egregiously bad. It's either game flow, and there's been a lot of special teams recently. Preds take a ton of penalties, which has been bad. But like, it's not because Schaefer has had a bad turnover. And it's interesting because Wood, actually, over the last couple of weeks, has had bad moments. And he plays through them, and it's okay. And he's 20 years old. But like, Schaefer still hasn't had one in 10 games.
It's great to see. And, you know, the young guys, that's the future for this team. Schaefer and Wood are the first wave of that, but obviously there's more to come. We will talk a little bit about Brady Martin coming up in the final segment as he gets ready for World Juniors. But you did mention some trades that the Preds could be exploring. Spencer Stastny was traded a week ago today for a third-round pick in 2027 to the Edmonton Oilers. Where else do you think the Preds could go as we are under 3 months away from the NHL trade deadline?
It's interesting because other teams making bigger moves is, I think, what's going to get the Preds moving, and Stastny was an example of that.
Right.
The Oilers made the goalie trade with the Penguins. They included Brett Kulak in that trade. They needed a third-pair defenseman.
Yep.
And I think Stastny is a great fit for them, and I think he'll be solid there. Obviously, the Oilers want to go on a deep playoff run. What does Spencer Stastny look like in the playoffs? I think that'll be the question.
Yeah.
I think he did play in the first three games of the series against the Canucks 2 years ago,
right, when
he like was really young in the league. He had come up late in the season, and he was playing in those games, and then Dakota Joshua concussed him, and we didn't see him again.
Yes.
But I thought he held his own. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, obviously, the Oilers are going to make the playoffs, and Stastny is, I mean, maybe they get more defensemen, but presumably he is on their third pair for that. But like, that's the type of trade that's going to happen now. Somebody needs someone, and you can get what you think is fair value. And
right.
Like, a third-round pick in NHL terms is a good asset.
Right. And Stastny, if I'm not mistaken, was a fifth-round pick when you drafted him. And, you know, it's not always...
Yeah. I don't know. I this is how hockey people talk. Like, they talk like you're talking. I kind of hate to think, like, I don't know.
Right. You don't draft them to upgrade the asset 5 years down the road. You draft them to be a good player for you. But, I mean, when you look at the math equation of it, you spent a fifth-round pick on a guy, you got some decent play for a couple of years, and then you trade him for a third-round pick, it feels like a win.
Yeah. Well, the one where I will do that is what I think was Barry Trotz's best trade as Preds GM so far, which was last year he unloaded Juuso Parsonen, who was a player that initially I loved and thought had a long-term future and a 10-year NHL career in front of him.
Yeah.
The moment things started coming hard for him, he just didn't show up anymore. And I was really disappointed in that because I loved the player.
Yeah.
I loved the player. and the Preds knew their player. They knew he was done. They didn't want to waive him. And they got a third round pick from the Avs for him. And the Avs ended up trading him to the Rangers. And his return with the Rangers on Sunday to Nashville is not going to happen because he's on the Hartford Wolfpack right now.
Wow.
So that, like, and that's the same pick they got for Stastny. So
right.
that was a swindling. But yeah, I mean, a third round pick from the Oilers is probably at the end of the third round, but they now
Correct.
Have
yeah.
four different third round picks in 2027.
Barry Trotz has done a very nice job of accumulating draft capital since he's
yeah.
come here. And of course, David Poile at the end, too, made those big trades. I know the Jeannot trade was.
We're finally out of Lightning picks, by
yes,
the way. That
yes.
is officially over. But yeah, like it gives your scouts a lot of freedom at the draft, and the Preds take pride in this. Obviously, their scouting department, like the homegrown guys, are what has driven the franchise, with the exception of Philip Forsberg, who was someone they wanted to draft and did not have a pick in time to draft, and
right.
quickly corrected
yes.
that inability to have him on their team less than a year later. But like when you're in the draft room, like it's. And this is what Barry Trotz talked about when he was hired as GM. He wants his scouts to step up and fight for the guys they
yeah,
want.
Stand on the table
who
for
they
somebody.
Think have high ceilings. And hey, we have four thirds in 2027. Like if we get to early second round 2026, like put three of those thirds together and get the pick that's on the board right now.
Right.
You know? So things like that can come from that.
Right. That's a good point that you don't have to make all of those picks, but they can be used to go get either a player
yeah.
that you covet earlier in the draft, or they can be used if the Predators do put together a roster that's competitive. You now have more assets to go get
yeah.
players who can help you right now.
Like the Jeannot trade, they got five picks. I think they only ended up using two of them.
Yes.
And that the first rounder this year, they ended up trading that to move up two spots to go from 23 to 21 to get Cam Reed. So like it's always going to change, and it ruins my segment idea in the future to have all five of them like gather around a warm
yeah.
fireplace and Chris Mason
tells
them stories. Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, last call for phones for Max as he's with us for one more segment. Looking for a great spot to pregame on Sunday before the Titans game? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 1025. The game, JBJ's, has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky. One more segment with Max. We'll look ahead to the back-to-back coming up this weekend. We'll talk World Juniors. Brady Martin and others preparing for that. And we'll also get Max's thoughts on Nick Saban joining the Preds ownership group. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Max Harris, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Final segment with Max Harris from Preds Radio. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. Coming up, Connor Newt going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll get you ready for Titans and Chiefs in the college football playoffs starting tonight. But couple more things to get to with Max. Max, let's start with World Juniors coming up and a couple of big-name Preds prospects going to be involved, including Brady Martin, the fifth overall pick earlier this year from Nashville.
Yeah, World Juniors is always fun, especially when we're on a road trip in Canada during it, which we will be again this year.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So last year we watched the gold medal game in Calgary, and we were going nuts when Team USA won and Preds draftee Teddy Stiga scored the game-winning goal. And it, sadly, it wasn't USA versus Canada. Canada didn't medal last year, so they've got some unfinished business. But
yeah.
it is on American ice this year. It's in Minneapolis,
okay.
which is cool.
Yeah.
And also the Preds do play, well, I guess it's in St. Paul. It's at the Wild Arena. And then the Golden Gophers Arena is the smaller arena,
gotcha.
Which is cool.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's cool that it's in the U.S. It's not really here a ton. Maybe once every 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So it's cool that it's in the U.S. U.S. is the back-to-back gold medal defenders. So it should be fun. And the Preds do play the Wild on the road in the last game before Christmas. So I'm hopeful that we can track down some of our guys. I'm not sure exactly when they arrive, but the first game is always Boxing Day. So I think they'll be there.
Yeah.
Team USA will definitely be there. The other teams, Canada is training in Kitchener. So they might come a little later.
Gotcha.
But anyway, we have six Preds prospects on preliminary rosters. The final rosters haven't been announced yet. I'm pretty sure all six of these guys are going to make it. Three for Team Canada. Brady Martin is the headliner. And they had a pre-tournament game Wednesday night. And like some of the teams will like play teams from other parts of amateur hockey.
Gotcha.
They played Team Sweden. Like, they played a real team from the tournament that's good in front of a sold-out crowd in Kitchener, Ontario. And Martin had two goals, including a massive one-timer from distance.
Yeah.
That I saw the tweet, and I was like, that was him? Excuse me. So, yeah, great goal.
Yeah, great to see Brady Martin having success after he went back down to juniors with the Sioux, and excited to see him, among others, in the World Juniors coming up in just a couple of weeks. Max, before we get to the games this weekend, I've been promising, I want to get your thoughts on Nick Saban joining the Preds ownership group. Paul Kaharsky was saying...
Paul was mad.
He was upset about it, and especially about the press conference on Monday. But your thoughts on adding... a seven-time national champion in college football to the Preds ownership group?
Well, so when all these guys who were playing in the World Juniors were here this summer for Preds Rookie Week, and the rest of the list, these are guys who were, some of whom were drafted this year. Martin this year was fifth overall.
Yeah.
Cam Reed this year was 21st overall. Jack Ivankovic, the goalie, who is really doing well as the true freshman 18-year-old starting goalie at the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
Second round this year.
Right.
So, like... And Riker Lee is on Team USA also. So those four guys were picked this year and have a chance to meet, to be in the World Juniors in their draft plus 1 year.
That's great.
Which for some of those guys is ahead of schedule, I think Lee especially. Like, that is a potential big rising skill player.
Right.
At 26
and you
overall.
Mentioned, like, some of the guys playing in these World Juniors are coming from the AHL. So it's not just the amateurs who are being brought in there, or the guys who just got drafted. Like, you mentioned Michael Misa, who was the second overall pick a couple years ago.
This year.
This year.
So, and he's just kind of like floating around with the Sharks.
Right.
Like, he's still on their roster, but not really playing.
Right. So definitely cool to see.
Yeah.
Basically, is it the top four draftees for the Preds this year all likely going to make World Juniors rosters?
Four of five
because
Jacob Rombach was ahead. He was the Preds second round pick. Ivankovic was with an acquired pick later in the second round. Yeah. But yeah, Ivankovic has been really good this year for Michigan. We'll see if he's Canada's starter. He's definitely got a shot to be, but there's Carter George and Joshua Ravensbergen, who was taken before Ivankovic this year by the Sharks. Like, it won't be, if Ivankovic doesn't start, it's not the end of the world, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Preds could have six. So then Riker Lee and Teddy Stiga, who's returning to Team USA, and Viggo Gustafsson, a defenseman, will be on Sweden for his second year. But yeah, about coach Nick Saban, at some point I will hopefully meet him, and I have to call him coach, right?
I think so, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to call him coach on the radio, too. I think it's really cool. But when all the rookies were here this summer, at Centennial, he was sitting with Bill Haslam in kind of like an elevated desk bleacher they'd set up for the coaches to sit and evaluate. And I was standing with somebody, and I'm like, is that who I think it is over there? And like, I was looking through two sets of glass, and like, it's just hard to see at hockey rinks in general.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wait, what?
Why is Nick Saban here?
And they're like, yeah, he's speaking to the rookies. And well, now we know he was doing more than speaking to the rookies. And Willie said this on TV during the game on Wednesday. I went to College Game Day at Vandy in October with Willie and Kara Hammer, which was really fun. And shout out to Amanda Brooks from ESPN, who's a Vandy alum, who set us up with VIP passes. And Michelle Kennedy, the team president, madam president of the Preds, was in like the super VIP area that not even Willie could get into. And she was hugging and talking to Nick Saban, and Willie's like, oh, Michelle's really in the inner circle. It's like,
now we know why.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, as Paul said, he does not own probably a large percentage of the team.
No.
I don't know the answer to that question.
They'll never release the exact investment that he's made, but it's cool to just have him involved.
Yeah, I think it's like, look, someone is going to own the team no matter what. Do fans have to care? No. But I think the Preds are in a place right now where after the team was saved 15 years ago, or I guess more than 15 years ago, they now have a stable, single, local owner figurehead. And that is what the franchise has needed. So first of all, saying that as a positive, to have that person in Bill Haslam, who you know is going to run the show and never move the team,
yep,
and lead the team to continue to perform well, hopefully financially and hockey-wise, to bring in a big-name sports person who your owner is very close with, who has a presence here, there's no negative to this. Like, maybe, I mean, the positive is Nick Saban's hopefully going to make money off of it, and it's a good investment in the Preds win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think there's any negative. I don't know.
No.
Paul is just Paul.
Yeah.
But if anybody who missed that about an hour ago, Paul Garski was like flipping out with Robbie about all this. It
go
was
listen
so
to
great.
The podcast if
yeah,
you missed
I mean,
it.
Paul is Paul. I love it.
Great stuff.
I don't agree with it, but it cracks me up. what else was I going to say? Now I'm thinking about Paul and just forgetting what I was going to say.
Quickly before we let you go, Max, Craig on our text line asked the question, Max, is it just me or has Yossi been a little underwhelming by his standards this year? He's still playing well, but would like to see him put up some more points.
Yeah, well, he missed 13 games in the middle with an injury, first of all, or 12 games. He hasn't had a stable partner. So I think those things all factor in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he has quietly produced, though, in – let's see. Let me make sure I have my numbers right here. He has been back now for – oh, God, I thought I had this written down. He has been back for 13 games, and he has a goal and 8 assists. 9 points in 13
Yeah,
games.
That'll play.
So, yeah, the production has been there. It hasn't been on big goals that he's been scoring.
Right.
But he had multiple assists in the Stamkos hat trick. He had multiple assists in the Forsberg hat trick. He's coming back from a serious like ailment and also is now playing through a hockey injury that he has recovered from. But still, like all of that matters. It doesn't seem like they're going to keep him with Hague as of now. It's been Perbix the last three games.
Gotcha.
Perbix at the beginning of the season, like I said earlier this hour, I thought he was really good right out of the gate. I would like to see him get back to that point and be a worthy partner of Roman Josi. He had a bad penalty last game, shooting the puck out of play. He had a bad box out on the first goal against. So, the more and more I think about it, like in every aspect of the game, Nick Blankenberg is the Preds' second best defenseman right now. And do you just put Blankenberg with Josi and say go for it? Does Willsby go back with Josi? Because I think Willsby has been good recently, but he's been good with Shea, and Shea's been good with him.
Right.
So I don't think they're going to break that up. But like with Stastny gone, those are the options you have. And like Justin Barron is going to come back in at some point.
Yeah.
We've had Barron and Josi happen a time or two. They seem to really like Barron. So maybe that's in play. I don't feel amazing about that. But yeah, I mean, I think a stable partner to answer the question is what's really going to help, but I don't think it's been as bad as the texter thinks.
Preds have some options on the blue line. They've won 7 out of 11. Big back-to-back coming up this weekend. Leafs and Rangers tomorrow and Sunday. It's a 5 o'clock pregame tomorrow, and as we mentioned, 6:15-ish puck drop because of Hockey Night in Canada. So it should be a fun weekend over there at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, and if you are coming tomorrow, please be in your seats by 6:05 for the moment of silence for Sheila Crisp, please. We want everybody to be able to join us together for that.
100%. Max, always appreciate you coming in. We won't do it next week because of the holiday, but hope you have a great holiday, and we'll see you in 2026.
Yeah, I'll talk to you 2 weeks right now, I think, from Calgary.
There we go.
On a long road trip.
Yes.
After this weekend, the Preds do not have a home game until January 8th.
Wow.
7 road games in a row.
Yes. So we will talk to you from out there in Calgary on January 2nd. Hope you have a great holiday. And the Preds with a couple big games coming up this weekend. Always great having Max on. When we come back, Connor Newt will join us. We'll talk some football for the next hour and a half. And don't forget, Jackalingam Winantanda from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball going to join us at 11:30. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.